Your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now. But something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Well, hello there, my fellow driven women. Today's interview is my conversation with a 27-year-old single mother of two in New Zealand who had such a fascinating story that when I happened to stumble across it online, I just had to know more. So I reached out to her, told her about the podcast, and asked if she would be willing to share her personal journey with all of us, and she said yes. Now, what I want you to know is this is a story about delayed diagnosis of ADHD, gender bias, the risks of disclosure, and ultimately, it's a story about resiliency. Nicole Gray is a woman who knew what she wanted to do from the time she was a teenager, but she had no idea that years later, her ADHD was not only the reason she was attracted to that line of work, but it also became the reason why she was prevented from entering the field. So I bet you're curious, right? It's a great conversation. Now, before we get into that, I want to share our latest podcast praise. This one is from listener Lieselwin, I hope I'm saying that right, who says, Diane's podcast is spectacular. I only discovered it last night and have binge listened to so many episodes already as I embrace my diagnosis of ADHD following that of my son. Diane's delivery is witty, grounded, and engaging, as well as considered intelligent and generous. Wow, she's got a great vocabulary. She says, I have loved and learned from so many episodes already, and the one called Confidently ADHD almost made me cry and inspired me to write this review of gratitude. It is my current favorite. Thank you, and Diane, please keep your podcast coming. Well, thank you, Lieselwin, for your generous podcast praise, and you better keep on listening, because this podcast is exactly for someone like you, and I'm so glad you let me know. For those of you I haven't heard from yet, what's up? I need to know what you like, what you don't like. Are you loving the interviews? Or do you want to hear more DW solo episodes? I don't know if you don't tell me. And I've made it so easy for you to leave a review. There's links, whether you're iOS or Android, right in the show notes. So without any further delay, I can't wait to share Nicole Gray's story with you. I think it's going to inspire you as much as it did me. Enjoy. Well, I am very, very excited to welcome you today, Nicole. After I saw your story, I don't even know if I explained this to you, but I have a Google Alerts that indicates that lets me know by email whenever there is any story that's noteworthy regarding a woman with ADHD. So it's just kind of a little thing that pops up, and most of them are not any good. And then I saw yours and I thought, I have to talk to her. So I clicked on the link, and of course it took me to the newspaper website, which had a paywall, and you're in New Zealand. I'm in the US. I wasn't going to subscribe to a New Zealand newspaper, although I did visit your beautiful country almost a year ago and loved it. But I thought all I need to know is right here in the title. And I reached out to you, you responded, and a week later, here we are. So welcome to The Driven Woman.
Wow. This is incredible. Absolutely incredible. What a story. I have wondered how on earth you found the story. I think I should turn some Google Alerts on to meet some another amazing people.
It's not a bad idea. Well, you can meet. I think this is one of the things that's super exciting about both podcasting and social media, is that you find your people wherever they might be. And so we might be separated by a few thousand miles, but I'd like to say we are like-minded and like-brained.
Definitely.
So
let's not keep the audience in suspense. Nicole Gray is a 27-year-old single mom who, as I said, lives in New Zealand. And the reason why I invited her to The Driven Woman to share her story with you is because she was diagnosed with ADHD at the age of 25. And the diagnosis, and specifically the medication that she takes for her ADHD, prevented her from fulfilling a lifelong wish to become a police officer. And that's what the newspaper article was about. So can you give us a little bit of the backstory about your interest in police work and how you came to be diagnosed? Let's start there.
Absolutely. As a teenager, I wanted to be a cop, and my dad said no, and I actually parked it for a lot of years. My dad didn't say no to a lot of things, so I respected that. And then I did a lot of youth work and some outdoor instructing, really active kind of roles, and came after my second child. I was still kind of interested in teenagers, which maybe is not the norm. When you have newborns.
I like them a lot. So many people said, oh, you like your kids when they're small, but when they get to be teenagers, it's another thing. I still liked them. So I don't know.
I'm obsessed with teenagers. I wanted to work with teenagers from when I was about 13, which is odd because I was busy being a teenager. And so I thought, actually, to consolidate everything I've done, policing would be amazing. I'm not interested in studying, not. And this would be really cool. And so on, not quite a whim, but quite casually, I applied. And then...
Could we say impulsively, Nicole?
Oh, do you know what
would actually that qualify?
Do you know what actually happened? It was so...
Of course not. I wasn't there. You have to tell me.
So ADHD, earlier, like a month maybe earlier, it had an attachment for your CV or your resume, I think you might call it, to upload. And when I went back a month later and was pondering over it, there was no attachment and I accidentally clicked apply and it went through. And I was like, I think I just applied. And it was my birthday and it was like such a good time. I was like, this is awesome. This is so good, which some people would have been like, I'm scared, but for me, it was adrenaline, dopamine, let's go.
Yes, it's the chemical cocktail our brains love so well. We could spend the rest of the day swapping impulse stories, but, you know, it's not like you applied for a job that you had never, ever considered. You had been thinking about it forever. It just so happened you were in a birthday moment and your finger just had a mind of its own.
And that is a good illustration for how easy the idea was. So you get paid to train. My children's father would have been a really, really great stay-at-home dad. Things were going to be really easy. And so through the process, which was actually nearly 2 years from that date, things got really, really, really hard. And I had to decide.
In what way? I don't want you to gloss over that part. It may be ADHD related, or it might be because the process is more difficult in New Zealand, may just be difficult for you for some other reason.
Yes. So it got really hard because my husband left and I was on my own without having ever had a career. I didn't have a job at the time. I didn't have any family nearby at all. I then didn't have a house, and the housing situation is really hard. This was nearly three years ago, but it still took me about 3 or 4 months to get a rental. So things were suddenly incredibly difficult. And the people who had been, like my parents, they moved out of town the same week that my husband left as well. And then
do you have any abandonment issues? I'm wondering.
Well, actually, that was the first time I'd experienced rejection. And I wish that I had experienced it maybe slightly younger or in a slightly more mild form, because to have it in such an extreme way was really full on. So life just changed overnight and was really, really hard. And things basically continued to get worse for the next long time. And so the first real test, the first time where you turned up and had to pass something for the recruiting process, I didn't know when I had my children. We hadn't been able to agree on a care plan at all. I didn't know where I was living. I just didn't know. I knew that I was
custody plan between mom and dad. Really, so none of that had been arranged, and you were really, just suddenly being asked to move forward with the process. Yeah. But
nothing was
normal. Life was settled.
I was exhausted, more exhausted than when I had newborns. I was just a mess, and as you can imagine, and absolutely. I just knew, my name's Nicole, I have two children, and I'm 24. That was like about it. And I went and I absolutely smashed the test, like, which in Kiwi speak, I did a good job. And I got back to the car, and it was this really one of those moments where everything changed. And I thought, maybe I can do this as a single mom. Maybe I can do this, you know, with my community. I've got a tribe. And I think I want this really badly. And it then took me a lot to get through. Like, I remember working at a restaurant, which is the most horrific thing I've ever done for my ADHD. And I wasn't diagnosed then. I've seen a lot of comments.
Because you couldn't keep the orders straight. You delivered the wrong food to the wrong people. You forgot things. Like, what happened?
So I think I'd never been managed before, like, at all. I had been the person from 15. I had had jobs where I held the key. I knew the alarm code, and I managed everything, and I was the person. And so this was a very small restaurant with a bit of a micromanager.
Yes.
So I could be observed at all times. I'd never been observed before, I don't think, in the workplace. And I also couldn't one of my main symptoms is prioritizing tasks and inability to prioritize tasks. And what happens when you're waitressing is you constantly need to rearrange the priority of the task. Yes. And I put so much effort into it, but I couldn't layer the different information to create a formula that would work. Yeah. So even after 6 months, and even when I had some really amazing nights, I just could not do it. And I've never felt so inadequate, actually, as I'd never experienced being in a job where I didn't feel like I was in my sweet spot. And doing a great job, and it really threw me.
As you get to know more women with ADHD, you will realize how fortunate that is.
Exactly.
Like, when we can either choose or somehow intuitively find our way into something that leverages our strengths and works with our challenges, we don't even think we struggle. We're not disordered. We don't have deficits. It's when there's not a good fit between your brain and the environmental requirements of the job that you realize, what's the matter with me? So that was clearly not for you.
It was not for me. And I'm so grateful that was just a very dark blip on my life because of the situation, working nights so that I didn't have to put my children in care. I also think it contributed to accepting the diagnosis because I was struggling so much, and being aware of this is not normal, this is really hard, or this is not going well really helped when I discovered about ADHD. So I went through.
Let's go back to that, because I think that's a really important part of your story, Nicole, is you know that most females, wherever they are in the world, don't find out that they have ADHD until they're adults. Whereas if you are a male, there's a very strong likelihood that you will find out when you are in elementary school. Mm-hmm. So the delay in identification leads to all kinds of struggles, self-esteem challenges, and most females hold themselves back and become fearful of trying things unless they happen to do them impulsively because they doubt themselves. But the way you've described things, and you told me offline you have good parents, so that helps a lot too, is that you didn't think there was a problem until you did. So what actually prompted you to be evaluated and to seek out the diagnosis?
Absolutely. It's a good story, because I actually did go to my GP, my local doctor, and it was maybe a year into the separation. I get the time frames. And I was working, I was really exhausted, but I did have this feeling of something's not right. And I took an online depression test, and I knew I wasn't depressed in terms of you know, chronically or
clinical depression.
Yeah, clinical mm-hmm. depression. There was situational depression, but that's entirely different.
Right. Normal.
And
yeah.
So my main thing was, I'm really extremely high and extremely low. And when am I going to get better enough to be able to like do my dishes and put my kids to bed? And I could see people around me that were going through really hard things in life and still able to come around and do my dishes. And so I just really noticed. It sounds so silly, but I really noticed like these.
No, it doesn't.
My goals, my life goals was to be able to get up in the morning, literally to get out of bed before my children was an impossible goal, and to do my dishes. And when I realized that these people that were actually going through significant things were still able to do that in their life, it did make me realize something's not right. And so I went to the doctor and she basically told me that I have children in a stressful life, which is true.
And you're like, why don't you tell me something I don't know since I'm going to have to pay for this visit?
Yeah. And I was like, I was actually, our public health system in New Zealand means that you barely pay, which is pretty awesome. But nice, of course, it had still taken me months of procrastinating and insecurity and worrying. Even turn up, I've not had health issues. And so to turn up to the doctor has to be like really bad. So I was really put off by that experience.
Yes. Of course.
What's wrong with me? And I didn't know that there's women around the world asking that exact question. And that is the key to undiagnosed ADHD is, what's wrong with me? Even though I'm awesome, even though I'm performing well at work, even though I'm a wonderful mother, something's not right.
Isn't it paradoxical? I mean, I think that our brains are magical.
Oh,
and we are able to do things that have other people sitting slack-jawed in front of us saying, how did you do that? And we literally are like, beats me. But then the day-to-day stuff seems to just be our undoing. So it's so hard to, and you could see why there's so much misunderstanding. And so many people either say that doesn't exist, or everybody has that, or, oh, I think I have that. Mm. And it makes it very, and it's unfortunately all too common when we do finally get ourselves in front of a healthcare professional, which, as in your case, usually takes a long time, that the usual response is either, oh, you're just stressed out, or you're going to be misdiagnosed with anxiety or depression. That's absolutely the usual outcome.
Absolutely. And I think it's that high functioning, high IQ thing that often masks a diagnosis. And then you have that imposter syndrome. So even the things that you do and people are amazed at, you still feel like it was a fluke every time. So you don't even internalize your strengths to start with, because
so
of that. And so that is really damaging, and people can't even comprehend, because you can go and look at my social media and you can see the results of my skills, but I don't believe that I have those skills. So that doesn't even compute to someone who's not facing that experience.
So I'm guessing it's really hard for you to accept a compliment on just about anything.
I think I'm better than some people at it, definitely. And it is just, it's so interesting because you just, you're inconsistent. So people can see that you have the ability to be maybe really observant in a situation. And so they think, oh, Nicole is really observant or really intelligent or really understands this. And so then the expectation of you for other people, that's what I found a huge thing is, this is why people don't think it's real, or people criticize me, is because one day I do something really brilliant, and the next day I do something really, really, really blonde.
Or you do this, or you do the same thing poorly. And it's like, wait a second.
I forgot.
You just did that yesterday just incredibly well. And today you're literally looking at it like you've never seen it before. How do you explain this? Well, you know, when somebody sees you do something well once, or you've given them the impression that you're high ability, high intelligence once, that sets the bar. And every single time, however you're functioning on any given day doesn't match up to that, the things that get attributed are lazy, crazy, weird, you know, whatever. And then we just internalize that.
Not trying. One of the things that helps me is like just a good narrative around every day being a surprise, that I'm going to wake up and discover something about executive functioning that I didn't know I'd have done my whole life. Like literally, mm-hmm. how is there something brand new that I've never known you could mess up?
But isn't it, so you do the same thing. I say it's, I don't remember if the movie is Groundhog's Day or 51st States, but it may be neither. But yeah. The thought is that every day I wake up is an adventure.
Yeah.
And I know I'll be surprised, yeah. even if it's something I've done a million times, because my memory is so bad. It'll be like the first time, and the first time for anything is always fun.
And there's just a new way to have executive functioning just kind of disappear for a couple of seconds. There's so many ways.
It takes the stigma and shame out of it, mm-hmm. which absolutely helps. So take me back to, you did remarkably well in the first stage of applying for the police job, so, in spite of all the stress you were under, and you said, I'm doing this. So what happened?
I'm doing that. And then I just went and did every stage really well. So mm-hmm. I was really motivated. I really wanted it. And it was, you know, that light in the dark tunnel for me. The dream of financial stability to provide for my kids was now this really awesome thing. And it was my ticket out of toxic relationships that I found myself in, because I was quite vulnerable mm-hmm. and I had never lived alone, and I didn't know that I could be easily controlled and manipulated, which is also
amazing. Yes, ma'am, it certainly is.
So that was really happening for me, and I didn't address it because I was going to police college in my mind. So I was like, I've got a ticket out. And so I got really, really, I was really exposed, and it was really unhealthy, and it was connected to my employment. So it was power imbalance stuff as well. So it was quite full on, but, this police thing was like this really driving, you know, every time I would see a police car, it was like that reminder, like a vision board in your real mm-hmm. life, because it's everywhere.
Yeah.
So I went through and I absolutely, smashed everything. Like there was, there were a 12-week distance learning course. So study. Mm-hmm. And because that was flexible and about 10 hours a week, I managed to really make that work for me, and passed everything really well. So I got through every single stage, and a couple of delays, as you can expect, with the process. It's really slow here, to get in, which is good because they need to screen people. Mm-hmm. It's kind of important that, you know.
It's kind of the same way with becoming a psychotherapist in my mm-hmm. former career. You go to grad school for 2 years, then you have to do thousands of hours of supervised practice. Then you have to take one test, then wait 6 months, then you take that. And I think, you know, it does weed people out who don't want it as much. And I think that's a good thing. But had you already been diagnosed at some point?
You had. So the whole process and it took like 7 months of trying to make a plan with the kid's mm-hmm. dad about, because the college is 4 months here. So you go away for 4 months. And so it took, I took a long time. I took a long time to adjust to how the separation was going to be. And because I'd planned to go to police college before, you know, that was just a bit slow to realize how life was now. And so it took months and months to try and get that sorted for the kids. And so I got right up to the day where you sign your contract, which is like the official, you have a place, you have a spot, you are mm-hmm. in, you've passed everything for a couple of months really already, but then you get your contract and it means you're going to college. It's about 3 weeks before the process, and you are finally in, and everyone knows what day the contract comes out. So it's like this mm-hmm. big, I remember, you know, checking my email and messaging another couple of people that I'd met that were in the same stage of the process. And so actually before I checked my email, it was the night before that I discovered an article that mentioned ADHD and adult ADD.
You just stumbled across it?
I literally clicked on a random link from a Facebook friend who posts good content, so I often click on her links, and it struck my eye because it was Kate Middleton's brother, And I don't even follow the royals. Like, I'm not into that. But it was mental health, which my ex-husband has, that was part of his story as well, or is part of his story. So I had an interest in mental health, and I knew my own wasn't particularly wonderful. Mm-hmm. But I was only
it's really so random that you
totally random.
You weren't looking.
Nope.
Well, and if you happen to be very spiritually minded, you might think you were guided. You might think, but you know. My life has been full of serendipitous mm-hmm. occurrences. So yeah. I just think I discover what I'm meant to discover
yeah.
when I'm ready deal with it. Yeah. So, and so there it was. You clicked on it.
I clicked on this link. And because it was about depression, what happened was the lines about clinical and chronic depression didn't stand out to me, but the lines about adult ADD did. And I straight away, I always think, why did I do this? What hit me? Because I went back and read the article literally last week, probably for the first time. So I read this mm-hmm. article that caused my whole life to change, just more than I could ever imagine. And at that point, I thought my life had already changed.
Very sounds like it had changed in a couple of ways.
Like I'd gone from helping lead a church to being married to an atheist. So the journey that I'd gone on already was like really full on. And then a single parent, and I had been very intentional. Like, I would have never had kids if I thought that there was any chance of ever being a single parent, which is funny because you can't control life, but I was doing my best and it was going really well for me until about 24. So I clicked on this article and it impacted me enough that I sent it to two people even that night. And just was like, I think I was questioning, am I crazy for thinking maybe this matches me? Have you ever heard of this thing? And the next day, I said to a friend, like, oh, I read this article and it keeps running over in my head. I keep thinking about this adult ADD and I don't know anything about it. And both of me and my friend have worked with children and young people our entire lives, and some very difficult children and young people. So ADHD is not a foreign term. And she said to me, I would feel better if you had it because I can't keep up with you.
Interesting.
And I thought, what are you talking about? I can't keep up with you.
But she's looking at the things that you do naturally well, and you're looking at the things she does naturally well, and they're not the same things.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And so we both feel like that about each other. And so that night I couldn't get out of my head, and I didn't know what hyperfocus was, but I hyperfocused for 5 hours.
I'm like, oh yeah.
5 hours, you know, and no toileting, no sleeping. Of course no sleeping, no eating is what I was trying to say. No eating, and I just devoured the internet on adult ADHD. Yeah. And I am so amazed that everything I found that night has been like accurate, really well informed, well researched. So what happened was I went from like not even knowing you could be diagnosed as an adult one day, and the next day I probably even at that point knew more than the person who diagnosed me, because
this is so ADHD. To go from not ever having thought about something to being completely obsessed with it within the span of a day is like, oh my. But you know, but see, I believe this is part of our gift, is to become so powerfully attracted to something, so fascinated by it, so curious about it, that we could just devour the information. I mean, who does that?
Yeah, I took like 3 or 4 tests or something. One of the tests, it said, like, if you score between 26 and 35, you might have mild ADHD, and I think I scored 52 or something.
There you go.
And I was like, you know what? I know we're not supposed to diagnose ourselves on the internet, but something is going on here, and I'm going to find out.
Nicole, everybody diagnoses themselves on the internet.
But we, especially in New Zealand, we try and pretend that we don't, right?
It'll be our little secret, just us and everyone that listens to this episode for all of posterity.
I think I'm so grateful that I was 100% sure from that moment because of what happened with what happened as a result of disclosing for me. was very, very full on. And actually, so that was the day I signed my contract. The next day I woke up after my 2 a.m. cry on the floor situation where my life as I knew it had just been retold and all made sense. Especially because I was homeschooled and I grew up in a really, really strong church environment, which is a very forgiving place where people stick by you. And so it explained the high functioning thing for me. And that was so key to understand that my life had just magically been structured for everything anyone with ADHD could ever want, which was also depressing.
But does that mean that probably one or both of your parents has ADHD? Because it's an unusual childhood. Most of us around the world grow up trying our best to conform to the norm of the neurotypical school district, the neurotypical church teachings, the neurotypical parenting strategies, and never feeling like we can do that successfully. But you had an environment crafted to nurture you. And until you were in your 20s, you didn't even realize that life can mean things go terribly, horribly wrong.
I list it for people so often because I want other people to identify it either in themselves or in others that, you know, by this age, you should have a string of failed relationships, not one, you know, one 5-year marriage. You should have debt, you know, of any kind. You know, traffic offenses are really normal. Addiction, you know, like more serious substance addictions. Of course, I'm addicted. I have an addictive personality, but not to something that is damaging you know, my body. Like, oh, wow. I should say sugar's damaging my body. So I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, I have.
But, you know, the string of things that would normally be, you know, a bunch of work situations where you've been maybe fired or left and you now have a resume that doesn't look, you know, something's going
on. Or told off your boss.
Yes. You know. Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly.
During a performance review or, you know, just those things that you didn't really think through so well, but none of hadn't experienced any of that. And all of a sudden, I mean, it's just fascinating.
I did punch a few people as a teenager, like in the face. So, you know, as you do, like it was very impulsive and didn't have many consequences. But again, I look back as I was in this really safe environment where that kind of thing was able to be, I didn't lose friends over it. I didn't have a school. Like if I was in school, I wonder if I would have had school fights, which would have resulted in, you know, maybe being.
It sounds like your childhood was really a judgment-free zone.
Yeah, it was a really intentional place. And so, I mean, I haven't got a disclaimer about which parent does or doesn't have ADHD.
Okay, we'll just let that one go.
One thing I do think, and I credit this, is that I think both my parents, but particularly my mum, I think she prayed about how to parent. And so without knowing and without ever feeling like she was successful, I'm sure, in the moment, because we were so different, she prayed and did these things for me that were exactly what I needed without her or I ever knowing. And we've just had such a closer relationship, I think, not just through the diagnosis, but always through being a parent and those kind of things. But she's really, it's just told a different story of her parenting me and the household, you know, explosive nature of ADHD and things like that. So it's been really, really rewarding to look back at the hard things and have a story that actually, that was really hard with it.
Connects the dots.
Other families weren't struggling with that. I mean, I take my kids to a family with 9 children and they're noisier and crazier. And you forget that day in, day out, that you're living in this chaotic world.
When you grow up, whatever family you have, that's your frame of reference. That's your normal.
Yeah.
And you don't begin to question that until you're older and you get exposed to other types of families and you realize, so I notice they don't do this. And I think it makes complete sense to me, Nicole, that this diagnosis sort of uncovers itself over time. I would just like it to uncover itself sooner for women so that there's not so much damage to self-confidence and self-esteem and what we think we're capable of. So, because I know we only have a few minutes left, tell me how you're being diagnosed and disclosing that. I'm guessing there was probably a drug test as part of the process.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll try and run through what happened. So I agonized over whether to disclose because I had no diagnosis. Nothing had changed on the outside, but everything changed on the inside. And I knew that I was really nervous about the study aspect and sitting still in the classroom for I think 6 or 8 weeks and studying at night as well. And I knew I was going to need support, and I knew that I was going to go down there and I was going to know why I needed support, and I was going to know the type of support I needed, and I wasn't going to be able to hide that. And also I didn't want to be shoulder to shoulder on the streets with someone and know what was causing some of my behavior and not tell them. I just couldn't comprehend that because I knew you'd be really close. Yeah, you'd be really close with your team, and that's, you've got to have each other's back. And so I was on my own with the kids for, you know, that was the plan with the career. So I needed help in the home and I needed to be able to access help. So I disclosed.
What you're telling me is disclosure was inevitable.
Like disclosure was going to happen for me. And also just being honest, right? Like that was.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's easier. And so I disclosed and everyone said, I don't think it'll make much difference. Like people in the police that I knew, people that ex-cops, you know, family and friends, even the recruiting officer didn't alert me to like what was going to happen. So I sent an email and it took quite a while, and it came down, just all the timing came down to 2 days before I went. So I was packed up. I'd gone to like a farewell evening and met all of the like commanders of the area and things. And I had a friend's or new friend's bag to take down to the college and everything. And I got this phone call and I wasn't going. And I'm so proud of myself.
What exactly did they say?
I know. And if I was angry about this, I would be requesting the recording of that phone call. I'm sure it's recorded, because they, I pushed back and I said, look, I'm ready to go. You're causing more like, stress and chaotic. Like you're putting me into a worse place by not going. I've got someone moving into my house. It's taken the 7 months to
get. I mean, did they say we don't think you can handle it?
No, not at all. I think I see it as they were like, how could we have missed this if it's really going on? So they had a bit of a, I can see from their end, that was really unpredictable and panicky because I hadn't displayed any symptoms the whole process to them. And so because
a dangerous woman.
And because I wasn't going to have symptoms that were going to stop me from doing the job. So I passed the recruiting process. So so they just said, we can't send you because we don't know what's going on. And they said lots of people diagnosed have gotten. They said that medication shouldn't be a problem. You just need to be stable on it, which is really valid. And
you're like, I'm already stable.
Well, I
passed all your freaking tests. I mean, hello.
But I was also like, you know what? If you're going to trial medication, let's be stable on it before you go into, you know, law enforcement training. You know, and so
this is one of the things that made me so eager to reach out to you, is because I know for a fact that there are a high percentage of men in law enforcement, the military, first responders of all kinds, fire service, EMTs, emergency room personnel, who have ADHD.
Everyone knows it.
Everyone knows it. And my thought is, if you're going to discriminate against this woman because she knows she has ADHD and she wants to manage it with medication, but yet there's all these dudes in there who are just as hyperactive, who are just as impulsive, who are just as emotionally dysregulated without medication, I feel safer with you in the uniform, personally.
On medication. That's exactly right. And so my choice to talk about it and manage it openly, rather than just kind of wander around and, you know, have my symptoms spill out over everyone, because it's going to happen regardless of how you treat it. So they pulled me and I had to go and get diagnosed, basically. Like, let's go and see what's happening. So I was really positive. I stayed really positive. I became transient and went through family court, which wasn't a great time. And so then I was paying a lawyer and paying a private specialist, and I was unemployed. So that was like a really cool mind game.
Set back.
a little bit. And then I didn't have a home. So then I was literally reliant on other people. Yeah. I thought that I'd gone through a lot and then that happened. And actually people suddenly couldn't cope with the level of, like, they were so excited for me to go to police college and I'd made it through and everything was going to turn finally. And then it got worse. And I just noticed suddenly people couldn't handle that anymore, which is fair because they didn't have to, right?
Well, but I think it's interesting that you're saying this, Nicole, because it's like we are able to tolerate and manage and in many cases thrive under truly dire, chaotic, unpredictable, incredibly stressful and uncertain conditions. But the people around us are losing their shit.
And doesn't that sound like you'd make a great law-like police officer if you can handle like chaotic shift work and you know, like insane amounts of adrenaline rushes? I think it's like 11 on a night shift that they say adrenaline rushes. And, you know, all of these different things, the fact that you're going to just have to jump up from your desk job and get out on the streets, like that is the perfect transition for someone with ADHD, which is why it's full of people.
But they got scared, they pulled out, and you ended up going in a totally different direction. You've given up on being a police officer and told me offline you're very happy about that. But you're not mad, you're not sad, you're...
No, I'm not. I'm not bitter at all, because 6 weeks after the permanent decline, which was 6 months down the track, getting diagnosed, trialing medication, finding out their policy was absolutely insane, not informed about ADHD at all. They wanted me to display 2 years no symptoms. Like, what? That was what I did.
You're not schizophrenic, what? Crying out loud. You're not a drug addict.
It was crazy. And so within 6 weeks, I got this job that was just like it was designed for me in local government. I work for a council and it's youth work. So there's like a legal standing committee of council and it's a mashup of quite politics. I work with like elected members and things, young people, youth work, strategic kind of problem solving, all of those kind of things. And it's really varied and I absolutely love it. I didn't realize I was quite into politics and I'm just kind of exploring that. And day two of that job, I walked past the police station, my local town, and saw the cops changing shift and thought, you know what? I am pretty happy with what I'm doing. And I think that's what makes the story so great because it's for other people to be able to learn about ADHD and see the discrimination and work on that policy really and those policies and the views because we all know that ADHD and police and other roles like that are very, very well suited to people with ADHD, whether they
absolutely
know it, whether they know it or not.
but I think, I don't want to contradict you, Nicole, but I think you are what makes it a good story. You and your optimism and your adaptability and your resiliency. And I think intuition is definitely one of our gifts. And you knew you needed to click on that link. And maybe all of this, the whole journey, was to just show you what a badass you are, how strong you are, and that you truly know what's best for you when you see it.
Yeah.
So sometimes, I mean, I have beat my head against the wall many times over because I was so determined to do something even after I had started to realize this might not be the right thing. Mm-hmm. But you, I mean, you had a totally different childhood than I mm-hmm. had, and I think it was definitely an advantage. But I think you were able to say, you know what? This didn't work out. I'm going to try that. Mm-hmm. And just released any negative thoughts and feelings about all the effort that you expended. But what I'm hoping is that this story will be listened to, it will be shared, and that for the woman who wants to take up the fight to overcome this discrimination and earn her spot as a police officer in New Zealand or wherever in the world she may be, that she will be inspired by your story. Maybe not the outcome because you decided to go in a different route, but this is the right thing for you. And for the woman who has ADHD and wants to be a police officer and wants to be on medication, she will need to take on the fight of overcoming the stigma, the ignorance, and just the unfairness of this. So I want to thank you so very much for joining us, for sharing your story. And if I ever get a chance to come back to New Zealand, we have to meet up in person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. For anyone that's out there, I did hyper-focus on some research around why we make good police officers. So, and what needed to change about the policy. So I can send that to someone who's ready to.
Oh, that would, let's do this. I am going to include any links that you give me for your blog and for the research that you did. So people who've now become acquainted with you would like to know more about you, and this, it will all be in the show notes.
Absolutely. Yeah, it'd be great. And I might make it back to America one day. I mean, who knows when that's going to be with the current
look me up
life situation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Diane. Can I be honest with you? At the beginning of each new year, I always told myself, this is the year I'm going to get my habits dialed in. This is the year I'm going to be crystal clear about my goals and I'm going to crush them. This is the year I'm going to get my shit together on every level and I'm going to do it all by myself. Been there, done that, got a whole stack of t-shirts. But you know, it wasn't until I started working with my own coach that I realized what a difference it makes to have guidance, support, and accountability from someone who's not only like-minded, but like-brained. Yeah, I'm talking about another driven woman, entrepreneur, who also has ADHD and has got it going on. I have two openings in my signature one-on-one 12-week coaching program, and one of them might have your name on it. There's a link to a free consult with me in the show notes if you think this might be the year that you really get serious and go all in on an ADHD-friendly business and life. While you're thinking about that, have a listen to what one of my client's success stories has to say about the difference it made to work with me.
So I remember when we talked about what you introduced as habit stacking, so pairing your habits. And when you did initially bring that up, my initial reaction was like, ugh, like that sounds awful. Like, I don't want to do that. But that was like one of the first things that one of the first shifts that our work together had changed. And that is something that I'm grateful for every day. So the first thing I do in the morning is I go pee. And so what your advice was, take your medication, you know, right after, have your glass of water there in the bathroom. And so that's sort of my daily routine is going to the bathroom, taking my medication, contacts, coffee. Yeah. And it's great because it just cuts out any chance of forgetting, which then would lead to kind of lollygagging around and then like, oh, wait, have I taken it? I should take it. Wait, but this one other thing. And so that really starts off the day so consistently and well. So that is the first thing. And then with regard to the rest of my morning routine, my best friend and I, we live together and we exercise in the morning now. So we've been doing that for the past 4 months, like at least 4 days a week. And so we do Beachbody and it's just really fun because we do have the accountability of there's going to be someone waiting for you. So your butt better be up.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.